Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 24, please. Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to direct your attention to just three verses for our text this morning as we begin this message. I'm going to say a few words of introduction here, and then we'll get into some of the truths from God's Word for us this morning. But let me read our text. The Bible says in Matthew 24, verse 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." I don't know about you, but this is true for me, and I kind of suspect that maybe it's true for many believers. The days that we're living in right now has really caused me personally to think more about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe more than ever before. And we are to be looking for the return of Christ as believers. But we take a glance at things that are happening in the world, and to my mind, it goes to, you know what, these are signs of the times, if you will. I think there's a lot of things beginning to unfold that do relate to Bible prophecy or relate to conditions of the world, if you want to call it that, when the Lord returns, pieces of the puzzle that are being put into place for what's coming. It's just the other day, I saw a news article, and then I also viewed a report. But just the other day, there was a congressman in the United States that was, they're just throwing out ideas for, you know, how do we deal with COVID and the aftermath of COVID and vaccines and all of those things. And they're talking about, you know, having a digital passport to be able to fly that is a health passport that, you know, that gives notification that you've been vaccinated, and the idea of not being able to travel without it, even employers, you know, mandating these things for as conditions of employment. And this congressman threw out the idea and suggested that people get a digital tattoo in their arm that would electronically be able to be, you know, scanned and verify that you've had the vaccine. And in my mind, I'm just like, does anybody read the book of Revelation? I mean, it's maybe not the mark of the beast or something like that, but it's certainly a precursor to, a forerunner to, the things that the Bible says are going to be happening in this world. At the same time as all of this is beginning, what we find happening in the Middle East is that there are peace agreements with the nation of Israel that are unheard of, that are all starting to form, coinciding with these kinds of things. And it just, what I'm saying is, there are things like this that cause my mind to think more along the lines of the fact that the Lord could be coming very, very soon. And our text here this morning says that as it was in the days of Noah, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And then it gives a little bit of a description in verse 38. "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Now, take your Bible, hold your place here, but go over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And look at verse 3. The Bible says, 2 Peter 3 and verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The Bible tells us that in the last days there would be scoffers, people who mock and say, where is the promise of his coming? All things continue as they were from the beginning. You Christians have been saying that Jesus is going to return for a long time now. It hasn't ever happened. And life just continues to go on as normal. But in our text, in Matthew, the Bible says that in the days of Noah, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. Life was going on as normal until the destruction came. And they knew not until the flood took them all away. So, as we begin here this morning, just a couple of thoughts. The Bible tells us that as it was in the days of Noah, it's going to be the same kind of thing or the same way when Jesus returns again. And according to the words of Jesus, we know that Noah was a real person. The flood that destroyed the world was an actual fact. And also, the return of the Lord Jesus is equally an absolute certainty. How do we know when the Lord's going to come again? Well, we don't, because if you go back to Matthew 24 in verse 36, the Bible says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. We don't know exactly when that will take place. However, the very next verse starts with the word but, and it kind of clues us in. So we don't know when it's going to happen, but Jesus says, but here's a clue. Here's a hint. As it was in the days of Noah, it's going to be just like that when I come again. And so it kind of gives us some insight as to the times, insight as to the condition of things that points us to the fact that the Lord could be coming very, very soon. So I want us to examine for a few moments this morning the days of Noah. And we'll coincide the book of Genesis with our text in Matthew here and make some comparisons really with our world today as we go through this message and consider this thought, this subject, the last days. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would work in hearts today according to your will. And Lord, I pray for any who are here that are not saved, Lord, that you would draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ today. These truths are very important, not just for today, but certainly all of eternity. And so, Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts, and Father, your Spirit would have free course here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So, like I said, we're going to make some comparisons, and we're going to see some things that point us to the realities of the days that we're living in, that they are the last days. But Jesus says that as it was in the days of Noah, that's how it's going to be when Jesus returns again. So what's the first thing that we want to notice? Look at verse 38 with me. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Here's the first thing. As there was great and growing wickedness in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The days of Noah were wicked days. The Bible tells us here, though, that life was just basically going on as normal in the days of Noah when the flood came. They were marrying, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. It kind of has the idea that life was just continuing on as normal, but it was becoming increasingly wicked. When you go over to the book of Genesis, you find that this is the case. Hold your place here and go back to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, I want you to look in verse 5 with me. Genesis 6, 5 tells us the condition of the world at the time that God said he would destroy the earth with a flood. In Genesis 6, 5, the Bible says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Skip down to verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And so when we compare Matthew 24 and Genesis chapter 6, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving marriage. Life was going on as normal, but normal was wicked and corrupt. And we find in Genesis 6 that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Verse 11 tells us that God looked upon the earth and it was corrupt and there was violence that filled the earth. We see that there were wicked conditions in the days of Noah. And just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Go with me over to the book of 2 Timothy. Hold your place in our text in Matthew, and we'll be back to Genesis again in just a little bit as well. But I want you to look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now understand the meaning of the phrase "the last days." It means the days before the Lord returns. All right? So in the days before the Lord returns, this is a description of the world at the time. "In the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Notice the conditions. We'll just highlight a few. The Bible says that in the last days, people would be lovers of their own selves. You know, we live in a society that is, the motto for society is look out for number one. It's all about number one. It's all about me. Get all that you can get in this life and make as much as you can for your life. And the society as a whole is nothing but a selfish society. Men will be lovers of their own selves. We could look at disobedient to parents. We could look at without natural affection. This is the condition of the world as before the Lord returns. Without the homosexual agenda, the transgenderism, abortion. We could go on down the list. All of these are demonstrations of being without natural affection. What God has created as normal and natural in mankind is completely thrown out the window. They always say, follow the science, follow the science. But biology is science, friend. And we can deny the science of God made them male and female. Amen? But follow the science. We could go on down the list. We could take a lot of time looking through each one of these things. Truce breakers. False accusers, despisers of those that are good. Woe, the Bible says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. That's the day we live in. You preach the truth of God, you stand for what's good and what's right, and the world will despise you. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, be aware of this. They hated me. They persecuted me. If they did that to me, they're going to do it to you. Traitors. I think we're seeing a lot of traitors in our country today. Amen. High-minded, heady. They're proud. They're arrogant. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. These are the conditions. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Life was going on as normal, but normal was wicked. Normal was corrupt in the days of Noah. There's also religious conditions, though. We're here in 2 Timothy. Look at chapter 4. Verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Back in one of our passages that we read, the Bible tells us that in the last days the people have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. You know, there's the element of, quote, Christianity today that promotes itself and presents itself as that of Christ, but in reality it's a fable. And the Bible tells us that there will come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. People don't want to hear preaching from the Word of God anymore. They want to hear a message that is fluffy, a message that makes me feel good. People want to hear a message that God wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. God wants to bless your life immensely, and if you just give some dollars here, God's going to bring that blessing in return. You know, live your best life and be your best self and all of those things, rather than hearing the truth of God's word that we are wicked and we are vile and we are sinful people before God who have no hope without Jesus Christ. They'll turn their ears away from the truth. They want a message that makes them feel good. We read in 2 Peter, if you just turn back over there again real quick, 2 Peter chapter 3. There's also an element that denies the truth of God altogether. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 3, we read that knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. It sounds just like the days of Noah, friend. Everything was going on as normal, but normal was corrupt and normal was wicked. And in the days of Noah, they mocked him. As he built the ark and he gave the message that judgment was coming, they mocked Noah. Noah, what is rain? You don't even know what you're talking about. You're just a crazy old man. What is this talk of rain and a flood and destroying the earth? And they mocked Noah for 120 years as he built the ark. You Christians have been saying that Jesus is coming for years and years, and it hasn't happened yet. All things continue as they were from the beginning. What I'm trying to say, friend, is that we are living in the last days. It's very much like the days of Noah. And Matthew 24 states that this is the condition of things when the Lord returns. And I believe his return is very, very near. Secondly, what else do we find? That as there was a faithful warning in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I want you to look in 2 Peter chapter 2, since we're right here, and look at verse 5. 2 Peter 2, 5 says, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. The Bible calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. A preacher is a herald, a messenger who gives a message. Noah was giving the message of righteousness. Now, I want you to turn over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. And look with me in verse 7. Hebrews 11, 7 says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So the Bible calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 that Noah was warned of God of things that hadn't been seen yet, and it caused him to be moved with fear, and the action was that he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, which by doing so was condemning the world. All of that time that Noah was preparing the ark, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah was sounding the warning of destruction and judgment that was coming. And Jesus says that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. Every board that Noah put in the ark, friend, was a note of warning to those who saw and those who heard. They could see what Noah was building at the warning of God, at the word of God. And no doubt people said, "Why are you doing that, Noah? What's going on?" Noah says, "Because God's going to bring judgment on this wicked world. But here's the ark of safety right here that God told me to build. You can get on it, friend. You can be with us, friend, if you'll just believe." And for 120 years, Noah built that ark, no doubt preaching the warning and sounding the warning. But so shall it be when Jesus returns. There's a note of warning. Because the Bible tells us that even though, that just as God destroyed the earth with a flood, the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, by the same word, the world is kept in store, reserved unto judgment, again, only with fire. But the world mocks at that message. The world mocks at a preacher who stands and says that judgment is coming again, and God's going to destroy this world and sinful people who reject Him. I think it's interesting to think about the fact that any one of those people in Noah's day could have gotten on that ark if they just believed the message. They could have gotten on that ark. There was room for them. And as Noah preached and as Noah warned and as Noah built this ark and prepared it, it was for the saving of his house. But anybody who believed could have gotten on that ark. Every gospel message that a person sits under is a note of warning, a note of judgment that is coming. The gospel is being preached. There is a faithful warning, warning of coming and judgment. And the warning is, get on the ark, friend. Get on the ark, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be a faithful warning until the Lord returns. Just as there was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Go back to our text in Matthew 24, because I want you to look at verse 39. Because verse 39 gives us another clue. The Bible says, "And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." So just as they were overtaken with sudden destruction in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The Bible says that they were overtaken. They didn't know until the flood came and took them all away. I just think about the absolute horror of that. You just go back in your mind and imagine what it must have been like. And you've heard me say this before, but I imagine that there were people, all kinds of people, that the moment that the rain started, first it might have started with a drop or two, and then all of a sudden it starts to come heavier and harder, and people are looking at what in the world's going on. The fountains of the deep begin to break open, and water is starting to flood and flash around, and people realize that Noah's not crazy after all. And I wonder how many people came to the ark beating on the side of the ark saying, "Noah, we believe, let us in, let us in." The absolute horror of people realizing that all that Noah had said was true. But it's too late. Listen, it's not that they were ignorant of what was going to come. Noah had been preaching it. Noah had been warning of it. They had heard Noah. The difference was that they just refused to believe the testimony and the witness of Noah. The Bible tells us that they knew not until the flood came. They were just going on about their life. They rejected the message and the warning until it was too late. No doubt most people in this world still do not believe the witness of the Scriptures, that judgment is coming again. And when sudden destruction comes for them, it still won't be because of ignorance, because there's a faithful warning in this world. It'll be because of rebellious unbelief of the Word of God. But let me take that a step further, because I believe that there are people who say that they believe this is true because they believe the Bible. They say, I believe the Bible is true. And yet these same people still have not responded to the message of salvation. They continue in their sins today, and by their actions, they prove that they don't actually believe. How many people have heard the gospel message, and you say you believe the Bible, but you're still not saved? God be merciful to you. Because the judgment and the wrath of God, it still abides on you. And just imagine for a minute all of those people who've heard the gospel before, who will come running to churches, crying, begging God for mercy, after the Lord returns and the saints of God are caught away and God begins to judge this world during the tribulation. How many people have heard the gospel message before who come running to churches begging God for another chance because now they believe? Are you with me? You following what I'm saying? What a horrible, horrible thing. They were overtaken with sudden destruction in the days of Noah, but so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There will be people who are just saying, not today, not today, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. I'll respond to the Lord at some point, and maybe even have every intention of doing it, but it's too late. We also find that, according to the Word of God, that only those who entered into the ark in the days of Noah were the ones that were saved. But so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Go back to Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7. In Genesis chapter 7, in verse 1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. So God calls Noah to get in the ark. Get down to verse 16. Genesis 7 and verse 16. Verse 15, and they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. God said, Noah, it's time to get in the ark. Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. Eight people. Eight people obeyed the call of God and got in the ark. And of course, all of the animals that God sent also got into the ark, and then the floods came, and the entire world was destroyed in God's judgment. Only eight people were spared. And what I'm saying is, only those who entered into the ark in the days of Noah were saved. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What does that mean? It means that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, when the Lord returns, and when God begins to pour out His wrath and judgment on this world, only those who are safe inside of the ark, which is Jesus Christ, will be saved from God's judgment. God is giving a command today. God commanded Noah. He said, Noah, it's time. You and your family get in the ark. God is giving a command today because the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 that now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That command of repentance is what puts you inside of the ark of safety in Jesus Christ. This command is the entrance into the ark of salvation. Acts 20:21 says it's repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ that secures the soul from the wrath of God and the judgment of God. Repentance toward God, meaning I understand that my sin and my guilt is offensive to God. Who I am in my sin is of breaking God's law offends Him and His holiness. God, I understand it. I'm sorry for what I am, who I am. Lord, I need Your forgiveness. Faith toward Jesus Christ. He's my only hope. He died for my sin. I can't save myself. I can't work to find favor with God. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away my sin. That command is the entrance into the ark of salvation. You step inside the ark of safety when you repent of your sin and you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at that moment, the Lord shuts you in just like He did with Noah. And the destruction that is certain to come, it's certain to come, friend. It cannot and will not overtake you. John 10:28 tells us that we are in the Lord's hands. If we're saved, that we're in the Lord's hand. And He's in His Father's hand. And we can never be separated from the protection of the Lord. Friend, the Lord is going to return one day. And as we've already discovered, we are living in the last days. So His return is imminent. That word means basically any minute. He could return today. Today could be the day that the trumpet sounds. We don't know that, but it could be. But what we do know is that only those who've entered into the ark are going to be saved from God's judgment. And so the question is, friend, have you entered into the ark of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible clearly teaches that those who've been saved, those who are born again, are not going to see the judgment of God because we're going to be caught away in what we call the rapture. We're going to be starting in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 on Wednesday night. We're getting in our study through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're getting right to this passage that talks about the rapture. What an exciting time that'll be for God's people. It's what we look for. As saints of God, we look for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what's interesting is that the very next chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, after the catching away, we see what is known as the day of the Lord. And it's a time when God has control and begins to pour out His wrath and His judgment on this sick and sinful world. And only those who've entered into the ark of salvation will not see the judgment of God. Just like in the days of Noah. Verse 39 of our text in Matthew, one more time, I just want to point this out quickly as I close here this morning. Verse 39 says, "And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." All of those outside of the ark were destroyed in the judgment of God. And the same is going to be true for people in this world now. The ark, as a means of salvation, was beyond the reach of those people when God shut the door. The day of opportunity for them had passed by. And so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. How much weeping and wailing will be for everyone who is a Christ rejecter when he comes. Listen, when the trumpet sounds and Christ returns, friend, those who've heard the gospel before, for them the door is shut. The day of opportunity is past. Will it be out of ignorance that these people receive the judgment of God? No, it won't be. It'll be because of unbelief. And I'm simply saying to you this morning, if you're here this morning and you've not been saved, don't be deceived. Don't deceive yourself. God is not mocked. He wasn't in the days of Noah, and he certainly will not be when he comes again. If you're not saved, don't wait. You've heard the truth. The Spirit of God has spoken to your heart before. Don't wait. The truth of the matter is, friend, you are literally playing with fire. Because God is going to bring judgment on this world again. You need to get inside of the ark of safety through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'd work in hearts today. There are some who've heard the gospel before many times, even been convicted of their sin at times, their need to be saved. And they've pushed it off. They've said, not today. Or they make up some excuse or some reason why now is not the time. And Father, I pray for their soul today as you are gracious and merciful in giving another opportunity to turn to Christ, to repent of their sin, to put their faith in the Lord. Father, I pray that you would bring conviction to their heart again even today of their great need. Maybe there are some who have questions in their mind about things that were preached this morning. Lord, I pray that you draw them and their questioning mind and heart would be able to find answers through the Word of God. Lord, we'd love to help people like that as well. Whatever the case may be, however you are using your word this morning, I pray that your will is accomplished, that there would be a tender, submissive response to the Spirit of God today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's